Welcome to Empowering Radio, brought to you by MyEmpoweredWorld.com. My name is Evan Dorian, and I'm your host, joined by co-host Craig Cook, and it's time to elevate the mind, body, and spirit. My Empowered World is here to inspire, transform, and empower the human experience, and we help you achieve this by providing empowering experiences through content, products, tools, and services that elevate the mind, body, and spirit, resulting in a world that becomes a better place for everyone. So be sure to check out our website, MyEmpoweredWorld.com, and sign up for our free daily empowerment emails. Also follow us on our social network channels with Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and that will get you connected into our ecosystem and empower your world daily. We have our e-commerce store where we're selling empowering hats and t-shirts. So go ahead and check that out at MyEmpoweredWorld.com/shop. And some cool gear on there. And if anyone has any questions tonight, please feel free to post them on our Facebook wall, and we'll answer them before the end of the show. We do have an hour-long show tonight, so we can get to your questions if you're listening in. And if you don't have the time, go ahead and write it on underneath the post afterwards, and we can answer it in the following days to come. Craig, how are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good, Evan. Thanks. It's finally the winter chill is here on us. It's a cold one tonight. I'm just trying to stay warm.
The winter chill is definitely here. It was this morning. I got up pretty early, and it was freezing. I was wearing a beanie out of the house today, so that's definitely odd for us here in California.
But yeah, in the 30s, California cold in the 30s.
Yeah. But it's definitely El Nino. El Nino is in full effect. This has been quite a winter with, just the weather. It's just the weather shifting and the world's just kind of crazy weather. Definitely been great for surfing. The waves have been just spectacular.
I heard that.
Yeah. I actually went down to surfed down at Black's Beach down in San Diego on Saturday, and I think it was probably some of the biggest surf I've ever seen in California. Well, probably in the last 10 years. So definitely,
wow.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was a very humbling experience. I'll put it that way.
Oh, I bet.
But felt really good though. But so we have a wonderful guest tonight. And he's actually joining us for the second time here on Empowering Radio. And his name is Brett Jones. And let me give you guys a little overview on Brett. Brett is a spiritual teacher. He's also the author of a wonderful book called Awaken. And he's also a contributor at My Empowered World. And tonight we'll be discussing awakening and consciousness. So happy to welcome you to the show tonight. Brett, how are you doing?
Evan, doing really well, thank you. And thanks again for inviting me back. Very excited to be here and have an opportunity to discuss subjects that I love talking about.
It's great to have you back on the show. We covered so many awesome topics last time. And now that we have an hour-long show, we'll be able to get hopefully cover most of those topics that we didn't get to last time. So I guess let's... For those that didn't hear the show last time, maybe we can start off with you kind of giving us just a little background about yourself, and then we can jump into some questions from there, if that sounds good to you guys.
Yeah, it sounds great. So as I explained last time, I've had a journey over the last 35-odd years of working out why people do what they do. And that journey has been a very personal experience because of the fairly large and traumatic event that occurred for me with a bankruptcy and a divorce in my early 30s. And that really set me on this path or this journey to find out why do we react the way that we react to things. And it's almost like, Evan, that we all know what we would like to be doing. We all know the results that we would like to get. And anyone yet that doesn't know what life they would like or what results they would like to be getting out of their life. The question seems to be, though, is how do I achieve that? How do I make that happen? because we've all got these inbuilt patterns of behavior that continually affect us. And even though we might stand in front of the fridge and look at that block of chocolate in there, we still hear this voice going, "Eat me, eat me." And well, yeah. Logically, we might know that if I eat that block of chocolate, I'm going to end up with, you know, a beer belly for a guy and tires for thighs if I'm a girl. Logically, we know that we don't want to eat it. Logically, we know it's not good for us. But after enough persistence of that voice, eventually we pick up the block of chocolate and we don't just eat one, we eat six. And it's understanding that process, understanding how our consciousness works, that really enables us to become empowered and to really have what I call inner or self-mastery over these desires, as Buddha would have put it. So to break that process down, we need to understand the process. We need to understand how each of us individually operates. And as I say, I've spent 35 years in understanding the psychology of it, the physiology of it, and the spiritual aspects behind why we do what we do. So today, we've got some time, and it's great that we do, so I'm sure you can ask me plenty of questions, or you will allow me to ramble on as I am apt to do with explaining to people why we do what we do.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we get into some questions.
Well, I think it's really about, yeah, it's breaking those patterns, but yeah, let's, Craig, go for it.
Okay. Yeah, I know last time we spoke a lot about patterns and how they are such a challenge for people, especially when it comes to a process of awakening. But just for people that didn't hear the interview last time, and even those that did, why don't we just do a quick recap on, you know, what is this whole term of awakening? What is that about? And why should people even be concerned about it?
Sure, Craig, sure. So everyone wants great results in their life. The issue is that we all seem to operate at various levels, and everyone's heard the term, you know, glass ceiling. But what we don't understand and we don't seem to have cognitive recognition about is when we hit that glass ceiling. And what causes us to do that is the same process I was explaining before about the chocolate. We know we don't want to eat it. We know that we would like to exercise more. We know that we would like to be more diligent and proficient in handling our money and investing more and saving and doing those simple things that leads to a great result. We know that we would like to be there and present for our partner in the relationship and be open and be able to communicate at a level where we really connect at a heart level rather than a topic or understanding or conversational level. We all know these things. But these patterns which we learn very early on in life. So if we take it from a psychological point of view, when we're really small, age one or two, you can look at us when we're a baby, right? You can see there's a limited cognition or understanding of what's happening around us. And as we start to grow, that cognition or understanding starts to... But we have this term, we talk about ourselves when we're little and we say we're like a sponge, you know, we just soak up everything that's happening around us. So it's so true that we do that process. We really don't have a lot of filters to reality in place at that age. So everything that's happening around us pretty much comes straight in. And when it does, we basically ask ourselves a couple of questions. And then the questions, even at that age, are more like, well, what does this mean? How do I feel about it? What does this mean? How do I feel about it? And what am I going to do about it? So I gave the example, you know, for myself personally, where I was, you know, standing at school and my lunchbox got blown over the entire quadrangle and it was very embarrassing. And I explained last time that my result or my process in looking at that event as a 6 or 7 year old was, you know, what does this mean? Well, it means this is very embarrassing. How do I feel about it? Well, I feel like I never want to be in this situation again. And what am I going to do about it? I'm never going to be in the limelight again. So that set me on a pattern of being the shy person in the room. I'm never wanting to stand out, never wanting to answer questions in class for fear of embarrassment or being in that situation again. And equally, in I'm sure your lives and everyone that's listening, there are times like that. And from each of those times, we've put in place patterns of responding. So I know, for example, that I'm pretty good at handling money. So even though I lost a great fortune in my 30s, I've been able to build up, a significant amount of money again. And that pattern, I now know in retrospect and looking back, came from the way that my mother would handle money. You know, she's now 86 years of age, and she has a significant amount of money that she's built up just from being retired and living off a pension. Now, to me, it seems ridiculous that she's able to acquire this money and to keep it the way that she does. But she's very frugal, but she also, you know, has a trip overseas every year, and she certainly enjoys herself. So there are patterns that enable us to do things like that. And equally, there are patterns that we all know of people who are very frivolous with money. And, credit card, we could extract probably, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 of rubbish, effectively, that they had purchased in any given year that they didn't really need. So what drives us to do those patterns is that they're stored in two separate portions of our mind. Psychologically, one portion is what you would call the portion that would look at a glass and go, well, that glass is half full. The other portion is the portion of the mind that looks at the glass and goes, well, no, it's half empty. And those two portions are really entirely separate. They operate separately, guys, cognitively. And I explained last time that it's like having Windows operating on one side of the hard disk in our brain and iOS operating on the other side. And they don't talk to each other. The patterns that they use and the understanding they have of the reality that is around us are completely separate. They simply do not talk to each other. So spiritually...
So is awakening... Oh, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
So spiritually... Thanks, Craig. Spiritually, we can explain it as the yin and the yang, which is very succinctly outlined in the Tao Te Ching. So we all know, we can look out in the universe and go, well, yes, there is a positive and there is a negative. There's light, there's dark, there's female, there's male, etc. And that force equally operates inside us at a cellular level, at an understanding level, at a cognitive level, and a spiritual level. And every spiritual text that I've ever read explains it in exactly the same manner, that from a Christian perspective, we have an angel in us, equally we have a devil. Buddha explains it that we have a divine portion to ourselves, and equally we're influenced by what he called Mara, being this universe or this world and this negativity that's in this universe. One force is the force for growth, one force is the force for negativity. And how we experience that is, we experience it as a set of emotions and we experience it as a set of thoughts. So, Craig, to answer your question you're about to pose, what is awakening? Awakening is freedom to be influenced by what we choose to be influenced by. And generally that is obviously going to be the positive force in nature, because by the true nature of what we are, from where we've been created from, we want to be in alignment with that positive force. It's inside all of us, but many of us get lost in the delusion that Buddha spoke about by being aligned with or engaged with or being attached to things that occur, like the chocolate. And that attachment to that chocolate, if we can't overcome it, will lead to bad health, will lead to us being overweight, will lead to us feeling depressed quite often in life. So freedom or awakening is really our ability to be balanced between those two forces and choose in any given moment have the ability to have what we all term as inner peace, where we're not being pulled by those two forces.
So a balance between duality and then just being more of that detachment rather than being too attached to something, which is why a lot of Taoists practice detachment, right?
Absolutely. So if we look at success, Craig, as an example, many people in life would like to be successful. They'd like to have money. They'd like to have fame. The reality when we look into that, when we talk with many people who have those things, and there are many famous people who've said this in public, being famous is not going to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Being rich is not going to make you happy. You have to have the fame, the wealth, and you have to find a way of being happy besides those things. They will not bring that to you. And there are many examples of that. And, you know, Robin Williams is a very tragic example of that.
Right.
You can have all those
yeah.
things. But there has to be another way of finding this inner peace, this inner happiness that we all seek.
Jim Carrey is a perfect example. He's said a lot of interesting things. Actually, at the last award ceremony, I think it was the Golden Globes, he had a great speech and kind of saying that, you know, these awards, you know, they're supposed to make me happy and feel like I'm worth something. But in reality, it's just, you know, it's all about inner. And it's not this, you know, outside, you know, feeling from everybody else. What was that?
Yeah, outside dependencies, right? I'm going to be happy if I get this, or if this happens to me, then I will be. But that's not what it's all about.
Absolutely,
Craig.
Yes,
exactly. And, you know, Jim has gone down that path where he's had the fame, had the money, and by his family background, you know, he has experienced a lot of depression. Both his mum and dad were afflicted with that too. And he's suffered from it many, many times until he found a way to go inside himself. And he's a great follower of Eckhart Tolle. And he has found a way to find that inner peace for himself. And as Buddha said, ultimately we must all find that way for teachers, but we must experience it for ourselves. And whilst there is nothing wrong with having a Golden Globe, so if you're listening, please don't think that the way to enlightenment or awakening is that you have to shun everything. That, again, is a delusion. That is a false teaching, and it's not simply not true. You can certainly enjoy life. You can certainly enjoy those things and be part of those things. But if you are reliant on those things for so-called happiness, then you are in the grips of what we term the ego. Because the ego is never satisfied. The ego will never have enough money. It will never have enough recognition. It will never have enough success. The moment you get to that goal, it will be seeking another goal. It will put another goal in front of you. And that experience that we all have as human beings, you know, was talked about in the Bible when Jesus went out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. That's the parable or the metaphor that was used to describe that inner experience of being tempted, being pushed by this inner portion of ourselves that does this. And Buddha had exactly the same thing when he went into the forest to meditate. And on his night of enlightenment, he was tempted continuously in the first phase of the night by Mara, offering him women and wine and song and riches, you know, things that he had already rejected as a prince who left all those things to find enlightenment. And we all had that human experience, guys, of experiencing that inside ourselves, you know, wanting that success, as an example, and being pushed. We feel that push to have the success instead of doing what the path or the spiritual texts have told us over many thousands of years. That is, in when we're in alignment with that portion of the divine of ourselves, these things somehow seem to just flow and come to us. And that is a far better way of still having these things in life. You know, I explained last time that I created a seminar, and, you know, it's an experiential seminar so that people actually have the experience themselves. And one of the things that I've seen inside the seminar is that these synchronicity events would keep occurring. I'd say something to someone and we'd be talking about a song or something, and it would be exactly the song that they love. Or I would be talking about something and they would know the person that I'm talking about. And these events continue to occur inside the seminar until I finally, I guess, awoke myself and concluded that these continuous things couldn't just be chance because they happen so often. And then it became a process of bringing that into my life as well and starting to see that, you know, these things are a cooperative effort between us taking some action, but then enjoying what Lao Tse, the author of The Tao, wrote about, which is he called quiet action or action without mm-hmm. action,
mm-hmm.
and allowing these things to come to us. Jesus put it in his teachings as, why do you worry so much? Why do you concern yourself so much? You don't see the crops in the field being worried. You don't see the birds being worried. They are provided for. Why are you so concerned? Why are you so worried? And what he was attempting to convey was those things are so often delivered to us. That door is right there in front of us, but it is the ego that stops us from seeing that door when it opens. A conversation in a party could be happening right next door to us, or the very person standing right next to us. And it could be the thing that would lead you to some huge, massive success. But you're not hearing it because you're engaged in some other conversation. Your consciousness is directed somewhere else. Does that make sense to you, Bob?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. And so the ego is always filtering for us. It's always putting in place this constant internal voice. And some of our listeners today will know what I'm talking about. Some of them will have a really loud internal conversational voice. Others, it will be much more subtle. It will come more as a push or an emotion inside to eat that chocolate. But each of us still experience the basic strategies of the ego. And some of them are things like distraction. The ego is always keeping us distracted on that next thing that we need or should have or want instead of those
right.
moments of stillness or quietness.
That's a really important lesson, I think, for people to tune into, is because it's a really fine, delicate balancing act between your managing your desires but not getting too caught up into them and worrying about them, which is when you worry, you're going to be detracting, preventing you from getting those things quite often, whereas if you just let go, things will flow your way. But then if you things come your way, then you get too attached to them, then you can lose them too, right? It's that very fine balancing act between, which is, I guess, going back to detachment, what you talked about, detachment, and then having the ability to enjoy these things and appreciate them, but not get too caught up in them, right?
Absolutely, Craig. And I think it's really important to find, if you want to awaken, if you want to find enlightenment, it's really important to find a teacher, that can make that distinction between this fine line that we are required to walk, because it's very easy, again, to lose your way on the path with these teachings. And again, the ego has stepped into many religions, many teachings that have become distorted and do not talk about the truth in that fine distinction that is necessary. So it is very much every action that we take can be coming from the right intent, can be in alignment with the divine within us, can be in alignment with that creative force. But then equally, the moment we take that action, it can be taken over by the ego, who then wants to go, look how successful you are. Look what you just accomplished. Wow, you could do even more. You can have even more money, more fame, more success. And ultimately,
right.
if we go down that path, what we find is what everyone finds at the end of that path. And, in my 30s, I had more money, I had more fame than most people would ever dream of or want. And it is so true that when I got there, when I had all those things, when I had the massive properties and the all those things, there is still something missing. If you don't have that spiritual fulfillment inside, you don't have that inner peace, you don't know who you really are and where you really come from. So this path that we all want to go down, there are stages to the path. And the first stage is really to awaken to what we've been talking about, which is how these patterns control us. As we start to awaken to that awareness, so people often speak about it as mindfulness, being mindful of what the voice inside is saying, being mindful of what I am thinking right now, being mindful of what action I intend to take. And that is the first step in the process. The second is to become very clear on how am I interpreting reality. If someone cuts me off in traffic on the way to work, how do I react to that event? And is that in accordance with the reality that's happening, or is it really based on some pattern of anger that I've built up in the past? For most people, it's generally built around that old pattern that they're borrowing from and using in this moment. If my intimate partner comes to me and says, you're not really, but generally, you know, if we're talking about conversation between a girl to a guy, she probably won't come to us and actually say that. It'll be more like, you never listen to me. You're never present. You're never focused. You're always distracted. And we've all experienced that if we're a guy.
Yeah.
we can interpret that as an attack. And the Course in Miracles speaks about this brilliantly, you know, that our egos will always take something like that as an attack. But really, if we listen to it from our heart, and even physiologically now, we know that we have neurons in our heart muscle. And psychologically, we know that we have three centers of intelligence, being the neurons in our brain, the neurons in our heart, and the neurons in our stomachs. Hence, people often refer to things as the gut feel. So if we're really listening to her conversation from those different levels, and spiritually listening to her from our heart, what we really hear is a call for, I'm missing you. I'm missing your presence. I'm missing your strength. I'm missing your understanding. I'm missing you really being here and giving me your masculinity so that I can feel complete. And likewise, as a guy, when we really allow ourselves to go to that place, we can really listen to what they have to say, and they generally offer a perspective on life that as a guy quite often we're not getting. So we can use reality, we can be mindful, we can be present to what is actually happening there and seeing it and experiencing it from that consciousness that we have. Or alternatively, we can get it from our ego, who will use a very simple device. And over the 30 years that I've worked with people, again, it tends to operate with only about five main strategies. And these strategies pull us, Craig and Evan, away from being awake, really being aware, and to use a spiritual term, to be enlightened to what is actually happening in front of us. Ultimately, enlightenment is about seeing what happens in front of us and not putting any meaning on it whatsoever.
You said there's five strategies.
Stories. Yeah.
Is that part of the being mindful and how we're reacting? Is that part of the five strategies where you had started?
Absolutely. So,
right. Okay.
Zen teaching in Buddhism doesn't really categorize them in this way, but it certainly has a lot of Zen koans or stories that illustrate the points. And a couple of those would be there's a man and he's traveling down, he's actually fishing in the river. And he's in a little wooden boat and he's got his oar there, a single oar that he paddles out into the middle of the river with. And he looks upstream and there's this boat coming towards him. And he starts shouting out, look out, I'm here, you're heading towards me, you know, avoid me, change course, change direction. And it still, it doesn't move, it doesn't shift. And it keeps on coming, so he's yelling louder and louder until he's getting hysterical and finally picks up his oar and moves his boat out of the way. And as the other boat travels past him, he sees that it's simply a boat that has somehow become untied to the shore, it has drifted away, and there's no one on it. But he was busy yelling at someone and interpreting it as though it's an attack.
Right.
And there's another story of a Zen master in a village, and he decides to take on some students, and one of them is a young girl. And she's only about 16 years of age. And he teaches her for about a year. And one day she announces that she's pregnant. Front her, and she confirms that is the case, that his Zen master's got a present. And now suddenly he's shunned by the whole village, and no longer do they offer him alms, and he finds it very difficult to live. And his one faithful student says to him, you know, how do you feel about this? And his response is simply, it's interesting. And
interesting.
His one student abandons him, thinking that he's completely lost the plot. That, you know, how can anyone react like that to the circumstances he finds himself in? And this goes on for more than a year, until finally one day the young girl confesses that, in fact, it's a boyfriend who she now wants to live with, that is the father of the child. And then all the villagers come and they offer him alms, and, you know, they bow down to him and prostrate and say, you know, how could we possibly, you know, doubt of your Zen master? And finally his student comes back and says, you know, how do you feel about this now? And he says, it's interesting.
No, that's great.
And it doesn't mean that we're emotionless. It doesn't mean that we don't experience emotions. That is not what enlightenment is. Because Lao Tzu said, you know, before enlightenment, carrying water and chopping wood, and after enlightenment, carrying water and chopping wood. And what he means is that the day-to-day things that we do don't change, but our experience of reality changes, where we're not pulled by these waves of very critical interior voice that is constantly trying to pull them down.
Breck, can I? I think that we're getting a little crack on the signal here. Do you? Are you in a room? Maybe. Do you mind just kind of moving around, see if it helps the signal a bit? I think we're getting a little broken signal.
Okay.
Maybe take a quick.
Is that any better?
ID too, Evan.
Okay. Yeah. We'll break to a station ID and we'll jump right back into the questions here. One second.
Sure.
You're listening to Empowering Radio from My Empowered World. Visit us at myempoweredworld.com. Become a subscriber and get daily inspirational messages delivered to your inbox.
Hi, Evan. Is that better now?
Much better.
I think, yes, much better, much better. Excellent.
So, projection is one of the ego strategies. And we've all experienced, you know, someone else doing something, and immediately we interpret that as an attack in some way. So we project outwards that this person is attempting to attack us. And that generally is not the case. They are simply experiencing, you know, a pattern themselves that they're running. And what I have found over the years is that if we can have inner peace and inner mastery and control the way that we respond to them, generally they will calm down. The second one is separation. The ego always sees us as being separate. It always sees that is owned by someone else and this is mine. And we can take that to many, many levels of understanding as to how that would operate and cause us to experience these negative emotions, triggering these negative patterns. And these patterns aren't always around anger. They can be things like self-doubt. They can be things about not being able to motivate ourselves to do things. You know, I work with many people, and one of the largest patterns that I come across so often is people know they want to be motivated. There are things they would like to accomplish in their lives, but they find it very difficult to motivate themselves to actually go out and do those things. And
right. It's fear of the change or of the unknown. And I think we're all kind of creatures of habits. We all kind of get in a routine, and then to break out of that routine, which routine is comfort, right? And then you're breaking out of that comfort to create new experiences, new opportunities in your life. But it takes a while to just get out of that, like we said, these patterns that we're all used to, you know, accustomed to, that just we're getting the same results over and over again, you know? So it's
absolutely
breaking out of that comfort
that
zone.
Absolutely, Evan. And we see that, you know, particularly with relationships where we all know we either do it ourselves or we know someone, you know, who goes through numerous relationships, and it always seems to be the same type of person that they're attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
And we see people who constantly struggle with wealth, and they go through the same type of pattern over and over again, always acquiring money and then losing it, and then having to gain it back again and then losing it. So these patterns are continuous until we break them. The other pattern ego likes to use is denial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a river in Egypt. It is truly something where we go, you know, that's not me. That's not my fault. They made me feel that way, or they did that to me. They shouldn't have sacked
right.
me just because I, you know, turned up late all the time. It's them. It's not me. And until we truly own ourselves and what we're doing in the situation, until we can look at that honestly, we will never get freedom from it. The other is attachment that we've spoken about, and we've also spoken about distraction. So given that we've covered, you know, a lot of the ego strategies and our dilemma, I guess most people are going to want to know, okay, what's the solution to this problem that we all know we're experiencing? How do we solve this? And that's what the spiritual texts have given us, you know, for 3,000 plus years now. It's always the same message. And that message is that we need to come back to having a connection, really experience a connection with what is true inside of ourselves. Having mindfulness about the experience is the first step. And having a belief system around who I really am, not this false apparition that the ego would have us believe. You know, I can call myself a spiritual teacher. That is what I do. That is not who I am. And there's a big distinction from that. So
why don't you tell us, Brad, as an example, yeah, that's a great example, just so people can have understanding. Who would you say you are?
I am the same that you are. I am the same that is everyone that is listening is. There is a consciousness that we can be aware of. The moment we pause and we are still, we have the experience of me listening to me listening to things around me experiencing these things through my five senses. There is a me behind that, and that is what every spiritual tradition talks about as the consciousness, the soul, the spirit, whatever we wish to term it. That is what we all are. And that does not have to be taken as a belief system. That is something that we can experience for ourselves. And that is what Buddha spoke about many, many times. And even on his deathbed, and the last thing he actually said to his personal servant, Ananda, was, don't follow me. Don't make a religion out of my teachings. Discover it for yourself, was his dying words. And then what did everyone do? Made a religion out of it.
Right. Right, everything gets just
into a
system.
The ego, Craig, will make it into a belief system, which it loves because it's a structure, which the ego loves. The ego loves structure, and it loves the body. So So it will dress the body up, which is why the Buddhists went down the route of shaving your head and wearing plain clothes, knowing that Mara or the ego uses that. It's not necessary to do that. It's necessary to have awareness that that is what the ego will do. The ego would love plastic surgery because it addresses the body. And hence Buddha's advice, you know, to not to become attached to the body. That still doesn't mean we don't keep it healthy. It still doesn't mean that we don't look after it. It means that we know inside ourselves that I'm not my body. I don't have to look good to feel good. And that is a wonderful place to be. It's certainly in my youth, one of my patterns was I was very vain, to the point that I would never wind down the car window, that it would blow my hairstyle. You've got to remember, I was this is in the 70s, right? Very important how your hair looks. So now I have very little hair, so I don't have that luxury of being concerned about it. But it is a wonderful place to be to not have how you feel attached to how you look. And as I'm sure you know, many people are afflicted by that. I mean, we can't wear nice clothes. It doesn't mean we can't look nice. But when the moment we're attached to that, we allow our egos to attach to that, is the moment we become lost in delusion. The moment right. I become lost in what I own as being me, I'm going down a track where it becomes compulsive. There has to be more of that. Mm. And many people right. are trapped in that pattern.
Mm. Right. Yeah, that deep attachment. I like how you said people can get lost in it, because once you get deeply attached, that's a good way of putting it. People get lost in that attachment.
Especially in today's world.
Right.
Absolutely. It is all, and certainly in social media now, it is all very much about the selfie and how I present myself. That is not who we are. That is not who I am. It is what I do. But that is not the essence of each of us. And it's very easy, I guess, to listen to those spiritual teachings about we are all one. But ultimately, when you can experience that as being true, when you know that is a truth, that consciousness that is us is in all of us, experience of life. Life's day-to-day experience is very, very different. That pushing, that stress, that anxiety that so many of us, that thing we call depression that so many of us experience, cannot exist when we are in alignment or in attunement with the divine within us. It does not exist in that portion of us. We cannot experience it.
Interesting. So one thing I'd like to ask too, because you made references to Buddha and Jesus and Lao Tzu quite a bit here. What's the reasoning behind quoting these different masters, if you want to elaborate on that?
Sure, Craig. So the truth is the truth. The path is the path. And there have been many beautiful souls that have brought this path to us. And it gets repeated in many different ways, in many stories and books and teachings like The Course in Miracles, equally in many movies like The Matrix. The whole metaphor behind that movie is exactly what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So the truth is brought to us by the divine in many different ways, as many ways as is possible. And each of these masters that I refer to have experienced it and hence speak about it. And once you understand, once you have the understanding of what the truth is, then the experience follows. And then it's easy to recognize it in each different teaching, and including the Quran. So I've read all these texts in great detail and looking for the commonality, I guess, in each of these texts that really, you know, bring this same message to us, that there is freedom available to us. We can have all these things in life. We can have the wealth. We can have the beautiful relationships. We can understand how to communicate to a woman, really, which is certainly a process that, you know, we need to go through if we want to be happy in a relationship. There are certain skills that we certainly need to acquire to have money and to keep money. But it's the attachment to those things, to allowing the ego to take over, that really sours that experience for us. So each master has spoken about these things. Each master has advised us about wealth. And Jesus didn't advise us to not have wealth. He simply said it was harder, it was like a camel going through the eye of a needle for a rich man to reach heaven. When he's relating heaven, that term was misinterpreted in the early Christian church to mean, a place that we're going to go to after death. What he truly meant by that was the heaven that is within. And,
right.
You know, we spoke about that last time. You know, he said, you will find me. And I'm sure if we want to take him literally, like you could take heaven literally, if you want to take him literally, he was saying, you can find me inside a broken stick. You can find me under a rock. I'm sure he wasn't talking about himself literally.
Mm-hmm.
So what he meant by me was the heaven, the Christ, the consciousness that is the connection to what he referred to in his time as the connection to his Father, to that consciousness that is there within him.
Right. Excellent. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, one thing you're pretty much connecting the dots between these different teachings and different masters throughout time. Now, one thing that some people may be divided upon, if they subscribe to one particular way or another, is the idea of karma or reincarnation. Could you talk about that for a little bit?
Sure. So people can debate different belief systems, and what you will find is once we get stuck on one way, you can be certain that that structure of that one way is related to the ego, is related to how the ego says it must be. And that structure will always lead to delusion. It will always lead to people saying one thing and acting another way. And truly, those masters that we admired, the reason that we admired them, the reason that we related to them, the reason that we connected with them, is they said one thing and they did it. They walked the talk, effectively. And we know many teachers who say one thing, but when we look at their actions, they're not always congruent. And I think that's, if you're ever going to follow someone, if you're ever going to listen to a teaching, you need to look at that person and say, this is what they're saying, is this what they're doing? Really living what they're talking about. When it comes to the issue of karma, in my own search, I want to experience things. I want to have an experience that I know is true. And hence, by the experience of it, I can know that it's true. It's not a belief system that I'm adopting to get somewhere. Does that make sense for both of you?
Yes.
We can believe something, and hence it becomes true to us simply because we believe it. I can believe there's a pink fairy at the bottom of the garden, and I can believe that until I die, until the earth freezes over. That does not make it true. If I experience that fairy at the bottom of the garden and other people around me experience that fairy at the bottom of the garden, then we must conclude that it is most likely true. Yes?
Right. True.
So when I heard about how come I attempt to do all these, to be on this path and do all these right things and these opportunities never seem to open up for me? Even though I've had many great opportunities over the years, right? And what I could see clearly within Buddha's teachings was it is the small actions. Karma applies on all levels. It does not necessarily mean we do big things, we will get big rewards. If I want big rewards and I'm doing small things incorrectly, I'm doing small things not in accordance with the ninefold path that Buddha outlined of right action, right intent, right livelihood, etc., etc. If I'm not doing those things, then I will be deluding myself, not seeing those opportunities, and hence attracting negative karma, what we would term negative karma. The opportunity is not there.
Yeah, or blocking the flow, you know.
Or blocking the flow is another great way of expressing it, Evan. And you would know it well, surfing as an example, that the moment you turn to thinking about what you're doing, the flow stops.
Yes, that's totally true.
Yeah, the moment you think about what you're doing on that board, there is just no flow. The moment you're just there with the wave, you're just mindful of the experience you're having, that's when flow occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And past lives, I can refer you to the I mentioned it in my book. I'll refer you to the University of Wisconsin, which has done probably the longest running study into past lives and reincarnation, based around the study of children, because they can't distort or they tend not to be able to distort the result. And allow our listeners and yourselves to reach your own conclusion about that.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left. Let's break into one last station ID, and we'll be right back with Empowering Radio.
You're listening to Empowering Radio from My Empowered World. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MyEmpoweredWorld. And remember to share and help us spread our message of empowerment.
All right, we're back with Empowering Radio, brought to you by MyEmpoweredWorld.com with our special guest, Brett Jones. And tonight we've been discussing awakening and consciousness. So we've got about 5 minutes left. And so this is the last question of the evening here. And so, Brett, if I wanted to start, what is the best path to follow to awaken?
The best path to follow to awaken, Evan, is to start to practice mindfulness or awareness. What that means is to have consciousness. So every moment of every day, this thing that we call awareness, that we actually control with our mind. So when you're meditating, you can actually be aware of where that focus is right now. And hence the purpose of meditation as a tool to help us start to become awakened or is to aware, where is my focus right now? What am I focused on? And
hey, Brett,
the idea is to focus.
Brett, you're breaking up just a little bit again.
Okay, is that better?
Try it again.
Is that better now? Is that
still
better
a little,
now?
Nope.
No, we're still breaking up?
Yeah, it's a bad signal, I think. Let's try it again.
Okay.
There you go. Yep.
Yes.
That's good.
Excellent. So the purpose in meditation is to focus on one thing and not allow ourselves to be distracted by the inevitable thoughts and other things that come in to distract us. And day to day, as you become aware of how you were judging things, what comments you were making about reality, what comments are you making about yourself, and how do you treat and think about yourself internally? These are the steps to begin to awaken. These are the steps to begin your road towards enlightenment and being free from this constant trap that we call the ego.
Breaking free from that, yeah. I've started using this this meditation app. It's called Headspace, and I was speaking to a friend the other day, and it's great. You know, it's like it really calms my mind, and it's just I get this tingly body feeling after I've been doing it. It's really been helping me. Just day-to-day stuff. I just do it every morning. So I've been doing it quite a bit, and it's been helping me on my path and journey to awaken. But meditation is definitely a way to help.
Same for all who meditate, that somehow we seem to bring that peace, that connection, if you like, with that inner peace out to our day-to-day world. And hence our reactions then to what occurs around us are much more calmer, much more controlled, much more less governed by these patterns we've been speaking about.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. I've noticed a big shift in my life implementing that. And the last time we spoke, you know, I was running, and that was kind of my form of meditation, and you know, sports and working out and stuff. But as of lately, I've started to really focus more on meditating, and it's been a wonderful experience. And I'm very happy with it. Yeah.
Sorry, Evan. And the next step beyond that is, as we bring that more and more into our world, as we can bring that peace more and more, what we start to experience is what Lao Tzu spoke about, which is action without action, that quiet waiting for action to occur, where the door starts to open and these events start to occur for you and a path opens up. And that path is what we need to occur, and it is a path towards great success in terms of helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as we do that, we receive ourselves.
Right. Well, hey, Brett.
So that is really the
so
next
much.
Step.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. Why don't you give everyone, all the listeners, just an overview of how they can learn more about you and your spiritual teaching, and also learn more about your book if they want to purchase your book. And check out your website if you can kind of give the listeners an overview of where they can kind of get plugged into your world.
Absolutely. Thank you. So they can follow me on brettjones.global. And through that portal, they're able to connect to the book, which can be purchased on iTunes or on Amazon. It's available in ebook and hard copy. And shortly will be available in audiobook as well. That is really a great place to start. Reading the book is a great experience. You can also connect with me on my Instagram channel, which is Brett Jones Awaken. And please, by all means, at any time, if you've got any questions about what we've been talking about tonight, through both those portals, please connect with me and ask me anything around these topics. I'm more than happy to answer them. I also hold live events here in my hometown of Perth in Australia. But I'm also, I will be holding events later this year in your hometown. I will be coming to LA to do some free events and also some retreats on the teachings and the path.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Brett, for being on the show. And Craig and I look forward to connecting with you when you make it this way to LA. We will be sure to connect and, you know, come join you at your speaking event. And we're really looking forward to it.
Excellent. And as always, thank you so much for having me here. I really appreciate it.
Awesome.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, guys. Take care and we'll speak soon.
Have a great day.
You too.
Talk to you later. Thanks.
Bye now.